Welcome to Talking Tamales. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. In recent history, tamales have become an annual Christmas tradition. But as you sit down to eat your tamales, know this. Tamales are one of the oldest dishes. How old? Tamales were made as early as 7000 BC by the Aztecs, Olmec, Toltec, and Mayans. According to History.com, tamales were made long before corn had become fully domesticated. While Tio Quintle is the ancestor of modern corn, and it has social, cultural, and religious significance. The ancient civilizations shared creation myths that identified people with corn. What's your history with tamales? Did you grow up with a family who had annual tamaladas, or do you search high and low for the perfect tamales? Join us on Talking Tamales on KRWG Public Media as we share recipes and swap stories with our special guest, Juan Morales of the Santa Fe Grill. Talking Tamales is on after the news. Talking Tamales on KRWG Public Media is made possible by Mesilla Valley Hospice, serving generations of families during difficult times. Mesilla Valley Hospice is made possible through donations and the support of the entire community. Learn more online at mvhospice.org. By Oregon Mountain Solar and Electric, a locally owned full-service system integrator providing solar and electric solutions to discovery, design, and installation of both residential and commercial. Information at OregonMountainSolar.com. By Mesilla Valley Hospital, open and ready to care for patients having a mental health crisis. Professionals available 24/7 to provide assessments on a walk-in basis. Information at MesillaValleyHospital.com. Welcome to KRWG's Talking Tamales, formerly known as the Tamale Confidential. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. Casey Counts is the co-host. Good afternoon, Casey.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. Our special guest is Juan Morales, El Gran Tamal, president of the Santa Fe Grill. Juan, you have a special guest as well.
Yes, I do, Edmundo. Thank you for having us at the show today. Introducing to you guys my beautiful daughter, Valencia Morales.
Hi.
She is a tamale aficionada herself. She has a lot of experience making tamales.
Okay, Juan, let's get things started. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can join us on social media, Facebook, where we are live streaming the show, and you can ask your questions on social media. By the way, all calls and social media questions and all entries, or you can enter to win a $20 gift certificate to the Santa Fe Grill. They can hook you up with tamales. So again, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or on Facebook. Juan Morales, let's kick things off with what is the key to making a good tamalada, good tamales? And being that we are in COVID, from what I'm hearing is that it's going to be much smaller for a lot of people.
Yes, a whole lot much smaller. So traditionally, Edmundo, when I make a batch of tamales, I use about 15 pounds of raw masa harina. To that, I condition that with about a gallon of warm water, say about a cup of vegetable oil, salt to taste. I would do about two or three teaspoons in there, massage it, make it really nice and smooth. And then a trick that I do also, by that time, I already have my meat simmering with the delicious red chili sauce that we make. So I get like about two or three big scoops, throw it on top of the masa, mix that, a little bit of color of the red chili in there, massage it even more, give it that nice little beautiful little color right there, little pinkish color right there. That also conditions it because it has more of the natural oils from the carne, and then it blends in really well. And then right there, just get your husk after it's been soaked, smooth it on, and you're in business. You know.
Let's talk about masa. What is the key to making a successful masa? Last year, I didn't do it from scratch. I gave in. I went to El Indio, yes, and they had prepared masa. And all I did is I added some red chili to it, a little bit of salt, and it was good to go. But let's say that you decide that you want to make the masa to your own taste.
To your own taste. Well, very well.
What's the secret?
The secret is like what you did, for example. You got your little bit of red chili, your salt to taste. You know, everybody has a different taste sense. So what I traditionally do is, you know, I salt to taste, and I'm use very little salt because heavily is on the meat itself. So back to the masa, you really got to work it. You got to work the masa. You know, you got to work it. You got to mix it around, squeeze it, play with it, smooth it out. You know, if you have a KitchenAid, if you have a hand blender, smooth on low, that works really, really well because, you know, like flour, there's little bits and pieces of the little boulders of the masa. You want to get all that smoothed out of it. You want to mix it. The more you play with it, the better it's going to be. It's going to be smoother to slap on the husk, spread easier, and it has a good moisture content for it because, you know, those tamales are going to be steamed as well.
Let's do a call out to people. Where are you getting your tamales this year? Share with us and encourage other people to see where they can buy their tamales here in the Mesilla Valley or even in West El Paso. 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or join us online on social media on Facebook Live. Casey, this morning you went into, you brought us tamales this year.
I did. So on my way into work, I made a stop over in Canutillo at Lupita's. And there was a line, let me tell you, because it's a small place and they can only fit two people in at a time. But I think everybody was happy to be standing out in line waiting for their chance to get in. And we got some red pork tamales and some chile con queso as well. So a nice start to tamale season.
Juan, let's talk about the biggest question I got. I got a question from Doc, who wanted to know, what is the secret to making a good vegetarian or even a vegan tamale? For the most part, you know, the masa preparation is where it's at.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where it's at. Because instead of using like a natural fat, something rendered, you can use a nice canola oil, vegetable oil, olive oil, condition that with warm water, salt to taste, and you're good. If you want to do vegan vegetable, chili, bean, potato, you can use black bean, you can use pinto bean. You know, here in the Southwest, we use more a little bit of pinto beans. You know, other parts of the country, they use black bean. They're just as good. A little bit of potato, they will go good. You know, like I'm thinking potato and green chili myself to, you know, experiment. You know, why not? Our ancestors did it.
A couple of years ago, you experimented with zucchini and calabacitas. Tell us what went into making that, because that's a complete vegetarian dish.
Yes. I'm the type of person that if someone asked me, can you do this? Have you ever done it? I said, well, I haven't done it before, but I'll give it a try. So I had a lucky listener, and she said, you know, it's your treat that I'm putting on making some zucchini tamales. And I explained to her, it's a calabacitas with corn, the way we make it. You know, traditional zucchini, our zucchini or yellow squash, sauteed with peppers and onions, a little bit of jalapeno in there, you know. And what you do, you make your traditional calabacitas soup. Just make your masa, put it in there, roll it up. It took a little bit longer to cook because it was a little bit more moist. But you actually, let me say, I mean, like about four dozen, that took about 2.5 hours, almost 3 hours, just because of the moisture content in the calabacita. There was more moisture. Keep that in mind.
That is the thing with vegetables. When you use vegetables, there is a lot more moisture, correct?
Yes, yeah, that is correct.
Yes. So pretty much what I tell people when it comes to tamales is something you've always said. It's like rock and roll. Everybody has their own personal taste, and it really comes down to what you want to put in it.
Yes.
Absolutely. So somebody was talking about 575-646-2212, if you want to join in on the conversation. Somebody was talking about spinach, and I hadn't thought about spinach, but again, that would make a good vegetarian dish.
Yes, it would. The spinach, you know, I think, if, you know, being here in the Southwest, I got to think of cheese. I got to think of chili, but I think spinach and long green chili would be great in there. You know, got to give it a little bit of zing, in my opinion, if you're going to have a tamale. You know, but spinach, you know, I would do a couple with spinach and then a couple with with either green char or jalapeno and spinach and some with cheese just to experiment, you know.
We did a survey on our Facebook page asking people, what do you like in your tamales? We gave them several options. One of them was meat, vegetarian, and sweet. Somebody chimed in and said, rajas con queso.
Yes.
The number one choice was meat. The second choice was rajas con queso. What's rajas con queso?
Rajas translate into strips, and that would be strips of long green chili, a nice good sandia salik, a nice good big Jim salik, a strip, that's fire roasted, and then also a raja de queso, a strip of cheese, which most likely would be like an asadero cheese. If it's really stringy, really creamy, you don't have asadero, try mozzarella. Or what I use, cheddar, because cheddar always makes it better.
I like Munster. I mean, when I can't find asadero, I go with Munster, and Munster works just as good.
And Roxy, I've been buying Munster cheese. She loves it. She loves the word. But she Munster. Also acquired the taste for it. So she loves it. So I buy me a block of some Colby or some shredded cheddar, and then I'll get her own little personal and Munster cheese. And it's also stringy. It's almost the consistency of a mozzarella as well. And it goes really good. I like those, especially with chile rellenos. I mean, because with the chile rellenos, you know, you fry them in there, and if you don't have a good cheese in there, it's going to ooze out. But Munster cheese is good for us, for chile rellenos. Chile relleno tamale, I'm thinking.
There you go. Casey?
Sarah had a question on Facebook. Would you, if you're putting vegetables in your tamales, would you do them raw or cook them first?
They would definitely, in my opinion, they would have to be cooked. Like I explained earlier, you know, you make a little stew like a zucchini and squash with onions and tomatoes and saute with a little bit of garlic and salt to taste. That would be better. Something that's already cooked in there, has the seasonings in there, great flavor, great combination together. I would definitely do that.
So cook the vegetables first. That's what you recommend. Okay. Share in with your stories to KRWG's Talking Tamales. Musician and singer-songwriter Randy Granger shared his tamalada experience with Emily Guerra.
Hi, Randy Granger. How are you doing? Tell us about your tamale-making parties.
Hi, Emily. Yeah, so a few years back, I was noticing that quite a few people were asking me that they would like to learn how to make tamales, because I make them every year just like I grew up doing, and I would always post, you know, little videos and little tasty photos. And so finally I decided to host a tamale making party. I thought it'd be a lot of fun. So I put these long tables in my kitchen, and I got masa and I got meat, and I told everyone that you can put whatever you want in it. You can put whatever kind of filling that you want in it. And I gave them some suggestions. Some of them brought their own masa and stuff. And there was this one couple. And of course, these were people who had never made tamales before in their life. And it always looks a lot easier than it is. So this one couple brought this really brown masa. And I think it was cinnamon. It could have been chocolate, but it was really kind of a strange brown color. And so I said, what did you put in there? They told me. And I said, well, what are you going to stuff it with? And so they had minced a bunch of apples, and they had mixed that with like cinnamon and some other stuff. So it was a very, unusual color. So they were really dark brown tamales, and they were filled with this other dark brown stuff. And you know, they left me about a dozen of them. I didn't eat them, unfortunately, but anyway, so some of the other people were trying to make really huge tamales. And it was funny how it became a very, very competitive thing. And they said, well, look at my tamale. Mine's bigger than yours. And I said, well, now you don't want a whole bunch of masa in it. And I was trying to explain the whole ratio of it, you know, that I grew up with. And so it was fun. And the kitchen was a disaster. I had four pots going on my stove of steaming tamales, and there may have been some beer involved. And so it was just a great time. But really what I wanted to do was just to show people what I grew up doing with my aunts and with my, you know, cousins. And we would do like this assembly line, just make tamales. And I mean, we would make several hundred dozen, and we'd wrap them in foil. And I know that's hard for people to believe, but it's incredible how fast that many can actually go. So it was a really great time.
And did you describe how you make the tamales?
Oh, yeah. I actually showed them all first. you know, I actually showed them all, and I showed them the best way to spread the masa down, and where you put the meat in, and how much that you should put in, and then you roll them up, and then I even had somebody tying them up with like little corn husk ropes. So yeah, so I actually demonstrated for everybody first, and I made probably about 5 dozen on that particular day. And this year I only made 4 dozen, but because my freezer is all stuffed with pandemic stuff, like extra vegetables and extra meat and stuff.
Thank you very much, Randy.
Randy Granger, singer-songwriter, local musician, people may know him. Thank you for sharing your story with KRWG's Talking Tamales. You know, Randy talks about an experience that he had, and it reminds me of a similar experience that I had about 10 years ago. About 8 years ago, where I decided to get brave, Juan, and I decided to have a tamalada. I didn't tell my wife about this until like a day before, and of course she was not too happy. But I invited all kinds of friends. And I told them, they were like, well, what do we need to bring? It's like, you bring your own meat or what you want to stuff the tamales with, I'll provide the masa. Well, that was a mistake, because suddenly you had people that only wanted vegetarian tamales, so we had to cook them separately. And then Emily Guerra came along and she wanted sweet tamales, and we came up with this sweet tamale recipe, and that took forever. We just could not be able to get the true consistency in making those tamales. Casey?
Just wanted to let you know, Edmundo, that your lovely wife did chime in on the Facebook stream to corroborate your story.
Yeah, that it was very true, that I did not tell her until a day or so before that a lot of people were coming over. But it was a lot of fun. And, you know, again, I think we're going to miss that this year in the time of COVID. You know, we are having a scaled down version of a tamalada. It's just going to be my daughters and myself making tamales. And do you feel that that's what a lot of people are experiencing, Juan?
Absolutely. You know, I'm fortunate that I have a production facility, I have a catering facility, and then I have a pretty heavy kitchen back here where I'm at, and that I could actually, you know, have my people in certain stations. You know, I have two people at one station, another two people at that station to keep their distance. And you know, we're working as hard as we can, especially in commercial and food, professional food service, to make sure we're serving the safest product out there available. And yes, this year, you know, it's me and Valencia, we're going to do probably another 2 pots of tamales. So we're thinking maybe like about 18 to 20 dozen per pot, because we're going to get the big guns out here shortly. I got everything prepped up already. Earlier today, we prepped up. That's what we did. We did our pregame show. It's Friday night. We may just dip into this right here. Valencia doesn't do, but I do.
Well, you know, that's the question, and Casey can agree with me on this, is what goes good with tamales in terms of a beverage? You know, whether it be beer, whether it be a nice glass of white wine.
I was thinking Budweiser, but recently we've been drinking the Merlot.
Merlot?
The Cabernet.
Cabernet.
Yeah, and it's been going good with the tamales. I mean, we had some last night. We had some last night. Went down really, really good. Because, you know, I'm a beer drinker.
Casey?
I just wanted to say, honestly, once the tamale eating is underway, there's no beverage. It's just all about the tamales. And
it's all about diving in.
Well, beverages Casey, before, beverages after, but not really during.
Juan and Casey, what do you recommend for a side dish? You know, for me, I'm all about making some good guacamole, which reminds me I need to go get some avocados to make sure that they're ripe and ready to go, because right now the avocados are fairly green if you buy them at the store. But I keep it simple. I do guacamole, my fire roasted salsa, and my wife likes cheese, so we do a little bit of cheese and sour cream, and there it is. Some people like to use rice and beans.
I'm a beans person, and Jake, the engineer, who I'm chatting with as we speak, is also on board with beans. But you know what's really good is in the morning, then you fry a couple of eggs, and you top your tamales with some eggs, and that is really good, too.
That is a New Mexico thing. I've never heard of that until I moved to New Mexico.
Yes, exactly. You know, beans and tamales, you know, they were introduced to me by my friends in Mesilla. you know, because we never had these. We had tamal, you know, tamal, you know, maybe put a little bit more red chili. So we'd go to their house, the Limons, and they would serve us beans, either pintos or reef fried, and they went really, really well. And like Casey said, they would throw, put eggs on the side and some extra salsa, red or green, and it was really, really good. The rice, I've never been able to get into the rice, even though my wife makes some delicious rice, my sister-in-law, but they're a bean and rice type of person with their tamales.
I like the rice beans myself.
And that's pretty much, you know, when it comes to a Mexican dish, any restaurant, many of the restaurants that you go to locally, when you order an order of tamales, it comes with beans and rice. Casey?
I was just going to say, I think the rice, because you have the masa, right, so it kind of replaces that that need for rice. But I wanted to get to the phones. We have Sherry on the line holding with a question. Good afternoon, Sherry. Thank you for calling.
Oh, well, thanks for taking my call.
What's on your mind, Sherry?
I want to make sure that you're going to get to making the red meat filling.
Yes, we're going to get to that because that is what I'm going to experiment with this year. I've never done red meat. My family is more of a vegetarian family, so I typically do bean tamales. Juan, what's the secret to making red meat tamales?
Red meat tamales, well, you start. You want to start off with a good pork picnic, a good pork butt. You want to get in a nice big stock pot. And what I normally use, those suckers are like about 10 to 12 pounds. You want to put at least half an onion, two or three cloves of garlic, one or two bay leaves, salt to taste, a dash of pepper, and then boil that sucker, let it simmer for about 4 hours. Or if you have a crock pot, you do that overnight, you can get better results. It's going to be so tender, mouth-watering, just falls apart off the bone. In the meantime, well, that's, well, you're doing that. If you want to make it your ritual from scratch, you get your pods. Wash them, stem them, put them in soaking and soak them in water. You want to boil them, you know, puree them to your specifications. If they're seedy, you could just use a sifter. Once the meat is done, you have your chili already blended. You drain the fat, you add your red chili, bring it to a boil, simmer for about 35 minutes. Remember, at this time, you're going to taste for flavor. Make sure that, you know, you have enough salt in there. If you want to jazz it up a little, what I do a dash of cumin, a pinch of oregano, a little bit of earthy flavor, and you got a good tasting sauce right there with the pork. Because the pork is, it's a really juicy meat. It has nice fat contents in it.
Sherry, are you still with us? Okay. Well, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation on KRWG's Talking Tamales, I'm Edmundo Resendez. My special guest is Juan Morales, El Gran Tamal from the Santa Fe Grill. Casey Counts is joining us as our co-host and also handling the phones and social media. So if you want to chime in on the conversation, we are on Facebook Live where you can join in on the conversation. Juan, let's talk about size. Size matters.
Absolutely.
I like to make my tamales a little bit on the small side. I don't like to make them very big, mostly because that's what I grew up with in Texas, with my mom making tamales.
And, you know, traditionally, it was our grandmothers, our mothers, mm-hmm. our wives making the tamales. Ladies tend to have a smaller hand, so they would handpick their favorite cornhusks to fit their hand for a smooth layer, smooth texture, creamy texture of the masa, and then they would pinch into the red chili, roll their tamal, she comes out a good size. These tamales that I have right here, and right here, these tamales are about 10 to 12 ounces. They're actually a good size tamale. You guys sampled some earlier, they're smaller. What Casey said, you know, she went to Lupita's, you know, that's a destination point at Lupita's. That gal, they do a very good job. Their tamale is a little bit bigger. A whole lot bigger, I would say. Mm-hmm. A whole lot bigger, but they're very tasty. And what they use over there, they use a lot of manteca. And that gives it that more of a greasier, fattier consistency, but it's delicious.
575-646-2212. How many pounds of tamales are you making this year? How many dozens? Give us a call. Share your stories with us. Order your tamales early, according to Las Cruces News trending reporter Veronica Martinez. Martinez has an article in today's Sun News about where to find tamales in Las Cruces. I spoke to her about her experience.
One of the assignments that was given to you was to go out there and do some research and a story on tamales. Can you tell us what you learned?
Yeah, so I approached this in the way that I am new to the city. I don't know that many restaurants and that many places around. So I wanted to basically do the hunt for tamales for other people. Be like, okay, these are the places where you can find them. This is where you can get red and green tamales. This is where you can get vegetarian options.
So what kind of response did you get?
So overall with the owners, the same story of every year. Tamales are going to be highly requested this year. Still, it's going to be tricky because maybe our gatherings are going to be smaller this year. Mm-hmm. So for some people, getting by the dozen may not make sense. But also, I think overall they're recommending still you want to get them ahead of time. Some places like Boza Donuts, they told me that last year, for the past 2 weeks before Christmas, they were running out of tamales, like every day. So they are recommending for you to make an order and place them first.
What about other locations? I mean, did they express as to how many dozens of tamales they sell throughout the year, or, you know, how many dozens of tamales people buy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, Chachi Express, they told me how last year they made 2,000 dozens and they sold out. And so another place that is very famous here in Las Cruces, from what I heard, is El Indio Tortilla Shop. So actually this place is not taking orders. They decided to only go for first come, first served, because it has been very, overwhelming for them to do it by the order. So they decided just this is what we're doing, and if you get the tamales, you get them.
What about for you personally? How have you grown up eating tamales during the holidays, and how difficult is it to accommodate people with different tastes, for example, vegetarians?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, the tradition in my family is that we don't have tamales for dinner, you know, at Christmas. We have Christmas Eve. We have them for breakfast on Christmas Day, and then for lunch, and then for dinner. Like, our whole day is eating tamales. And the same goes for the first year of the year. Mm-hmm. We do this again. We gather that entire day together, and we eat tamales the entire day. It used to be a tradition in my family when my grandma was alive to do them, but since she passed away, we've been buying them. And accommodating for different tastes, it has been an issue. For example, my sister is vegetarian, so we have to find a place that also has the chile con rajas tamales. Mm-hmm. So she has something to eat, because overall in her, it's just going to be chicken and pork tamales that she cannot have.
Veronica, thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you.
575-646-2212, the telephone number to join us on Talking Tamales. Libby is on the line with a question. Good afternoon, Libby.
Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Great. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. First off, our tradition. Grandma and my aunties made them. My mother made them. And now all the sibling sisters, the guys pitch in too, and our nieces, we gather probably the week before Christmas, and we smear probably about 100 pounds of masa worth of tamales, red with chili pork, or chili, red chili with pork. Recipe very similar to what the gentleman shared earlier. You got to season that meat, et cetera. And we also do green chili and cheese with lots of garlic in the chili and plenty of salt. That's our fun family tradition. We get together and we smear tamales, and then we pack them up in little half dozens. We enjoy them that day with beans and salad, lots of chopped up lettuce and tomato. No rice, because that's too many carbohydrates per your meal. But anyway, we package them up and we all take our portions home and we freeze them so we can enjoy them throughout the year, red and green. What I wanted to say, y'all are talking vegetarian. My husband and I have gone vegan. So okay. We don't buy the masa anymore, because they usually, a good masa will use the water off of the pork roast or lard, manteca. So what I do is I buy the masa harina powder, and I season it up with some salt and maybe some they make a lot of good vegan bouillons, and I use a refined coconut oil as my fat, because you have to have that fat in the masa. And the refined coconut oil has zero coconut flavor. So you season your masa pretty nicely. And as for the fillings, I get canned jackfruit, which is in a brine. I rinse it a bit, and I make really wonderful seasoned traditional chile colorado or red chili sauce that has all the right seasonings for tamales, a little bit of oregano, a little bit of comino, plenty of garlic, and fresh homemade sauce. And I simmer that jackfruit, which has the shredded consistency of pork, and you simmer it all in there, and then I use that for my red chili tamales with carne de puerco or red pork, and people cannot tell the difference. It's really, really good. And for the green, instead of cheese, we use the vegan cheese, the shreds from the store, maybe daya, cutting board shreds, mozzarella and cheddar, and we mix the green chili that we fire roast ourselves, and we smear them. And as far as consistency, not too much masa and fairly small. We like to have the filling blend well with the masa and not big old thick chunks of masa. Some people like that. We personally like to get the flavor out of the center and have the masa accompany that. But we continue the tradition, and it's wonderful. We love it. And just wanted to share that, my vegan experience and family experience.
Are you teaching your children or your family's children about this tradition?
Oh,
are
absolutely.
They buying into
our nieces,
it?
Our nieces are in there. They're, you know, and they've been helping us since they were 10 or 11. And we gather as a family, all the sisters, and the guys are there too. Some of them like to help, but they usually will go outside and do other things. But absolutely. The nieces right now are 15, 16, 17. And yes, we do that. We get together. Of course, we're not going to do it this year. We were posting on Facebook memory pictures how we're going to miss that tradition this year, because we are very much respecting household distancing. We stick to our own households. But yes, the kids are in on it. They're in on it.
That's great.
And
that's
fantastic. Love it. And they learn how to make the carne and the chile and how to do it from the pod and whatnot. So definitely got to keep the tradition going. And
that's
family
fantastic.
Get together to do it. That's the joy, is having all of us around a big long table, smearing tamales, talking all day. We enjoy the mimosas from Les Combes, or coffee with a little bit of Bailey's, or, you know, maybe a cocktail later in the day. And then we all gather in the evening to eat the tamales with lots of chopped up lettuce and tomato and a little bit of beans on the side. Maybe not, because the tamale is a meal in itself.
That's right.
And that's it. We love it. And we are
sharing
the tradition, and we are continuing the tradition.
Thank you very much for sharing your story. We really appreciate that.
Awesome.
I wanted to ask one more question from our previous caller, actually, Sherry, who did have one follow-up question, asking about how thick to cut the meat. I guess how to chop it or cut it after you cook your pork roast.
Well, basically, like I say, you want to boil it, preferably cook in a crock pot overnight. If you want that to pull, you want it shredded. You don't want to stay diced, because the pork picnic, it's a good 8-10 pound roast. You just want to drop it all in there and just let time take its course. It'll start cooking, natural oils come out, the muscle starts bringing up, and it just shreds really nice in its own natural juices.
Do you have to cover it in liquid?
Yes, of course. You got to cover it in liquid. Yes, of course. What you want to do with one of those roasts, you want to get at least about a gallon of water. Like I said earlier, you know, some onion in there, 2 or 3 cloves of garlic, bay leaf, salt to taste, dash of black pepper. And then you want to put a lid on it. You want to cook it on medium heat and for at least 4 to 5 hours.
Okay. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Or join us on social media. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $20 gift certificate to the Santa Fe Grill. If you do not want to be on the air, but you'd like to be in on the drawing, you can just call Jake and let him know that you want to be in on the drawing, and he will take your name. Share your stories on tamales. Where are you getting your tamales this year? We got a shout out to Bosa Donuts from Mark, who said that's where he gets them, and they are so, so good. Where do you get your tamales? Give us a call. Let's do a shout out to some local businesses and help them out during this holiday season. 575-646-2212. Juan, we talked about the red chili, the red chili meat. What else, what other kind of meats do you recommend?
Well, the same recipe that I gave that gal for on the pork, you can use a rump roast. You can use a chuck roast. You can use a good sized stew meat in there, and you know, cook it the same consistency, you know, where the beef pulls, and you'll have nice shredded, tender, delicious red meat. We made them with red meat, with red chili beef, and as a matter of fact, I'm gonna make some for a good customer tomorrow, and it comes out really good. You know, you taste the flavor. It's the thing with the shredded meat. It's a little bit more drier. Okay, it's a little bit more dry. That's the only thing that I've noticed. And compared to a pork and a beef, it's a little bit more drier. Now, I also experimented with our season, with our brisket. Now, that gave it a whole different
brisket. Casey?
We have a call. Angie on the line holding with a question. Good afternoon, Angie. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. And I just have a question about how long it really takes to make tamales. My husband and I have started making them, and it seems like it takes a really long time to cook them. We've been cooking them for like 4 to 5 hours. We've got a big pot, about 30 of them fitting in the pot, but it just seems like that's a really long time to cook them.
Okay.
We make sure that we don't run out of water.
Okay, so now the trick is, do you have like a skimmer in between the water and the tamale itself?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's got holes in it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So the key is, you know, you start with warm water, of course. You lay your tamales in there, and then you want to get leftover corn husk. Cover them completely with corn husk. And then what's a good idea to do also is get some nice, clean,
hand towels,
bar towels, kitchen towels, and get those nice and moist, wring them out, put them on top of that, and then put your pot your lid on top of the pot, bring that to a boil, and then let simmer for, I would do two and a half hours. After 2.5 hours, take one out, let it sit for 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then if the corn husk peels right off the tamale itself, the masa, you're in business.
Right.
You gotta keep that moisture down. You gotta keep that heat down.
Yeah, gotta keep it chopped
in
there.
So the bar towels on top of the tamales, and then the lid on top of the bar towels.
You're gonna have your tamales, then the leftover corn husk. You're gonna put it on top one layer. And then your damp bar towels right on top of that. And if you want to, what I would do, I would even put some foil around the top of the pot and in the lid, and they'll keep more of the heat in there because the tamale's going to cook with steam.
Right, and it won't. Will it run out of water that you'll have to keep putting water? That,
bring it to a rapid boil, and then just put it on a medium low, medium high for about 2.5 hours. So are you using about a 12-quart stock pot for your tamales, which you would find like Walmart, because I believe those are like 36-quart. Well, you know, that's what I recommend for about 30 tamales, 36, 3 dozen. That's what I would recommend, 2.5 hours, because it's taking me on this commercial stock pot that I have, it's taking me about 3.5 hours, but that's with about – let me see. That's with about 72 tamales in that one per pot. So it's taking 3.5 hours, almost 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Okay.
So what did you stuff your tamales with this year?
We've actually made the regular red ones, and we made some chicken with green chili. And then my stepdaughter came into town, and she wanted vegan ones, so we made rajas with cheese and And we actually tried some pumpkin filling from the pumpkin pie. That kind of came out kind of interesting, but
you know what? Next time, before you roll the pumpkin filling into the masa,
The masa. And that's what I suggested, but everyone said no, and I went,
you mix it in there, and then what I would do, like, you know, do a little incision in there and like put more filling in there. I think you might have something there.
Yeah, they actually were not bad.
Hey, that's what it's all about, having fun with family, experimenting. You know, it's a great tradition. Keep this tradition going here in the Southwest and all over the world, actually.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling in. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Or join us on social media on Facebook Live, where we are broadcast live streaming this show. Juan, you know, we're talking about using pumpkin. I mean, it's like, it's the best of both worlds, because during this time of the year, you've got pumpkin spice lattes and everything. Now we've got pumpkin spice tamales.
Yes. And you know, like me, I'm creative. My daughter, Valencia, she's very creative. So she's already, you know, thinking of doing some of those, because we have pumpkin in there. We have a lot of masa. We have a lot of corn dust. So yeah, you know, fix your experiment. You know, me and my daughter having some quality time. You know, everybody's at the grills. Everybody's working, you know, with this new era that we have right here. And, you know, it's just adapting. Like I said, I got my crew making a bunch of tamales for all those folks out there. But you know what? Here in Las Cruces, you know, there's so many good tamales. El Indio has a great tamale. Roberto's, La Cocina, God, little old gals that work in the parking lot at Walmart. They have some of the best.
That's one of the things that came up last year with the Las Cruces Sun News. When they had an article, they said, okay, the best place to get tamales, your mom or your grandma or the little lady at the Walmart parking lot.
And I know the gal. We know her personally. She does a wonderful job.
Yeah, now
she makes them with cream cheese and rajas. She makes a zucchini one. She makes a bunch. She goes by the facility and drops them off. I buy some from her, and I'll trade her for a burrito or two.
575-646-2212. Or join us on social media on Facebook Live. Casey, what are you going to experiment and make tamales this year, or are you still on
every
the fence
year,
on that?
Every year I say I'm going to do it. It's like a lot of things. I say I'm going to do it, and then I don't. But I asked for some recipes, and a lady called, and she said, here is my recipe for making tamales. Get out every dish in your kitchen. Take a bag of flour. Throw it all over your kitchen. Throw out as many towels, and then spray it all with water, and then go buy your tamales. And you can tell everyone.
Yes! Yes, I love it.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. The cleanup is what really stresses me out. Of course, my wife would agree that she's the one that does the cleanup. But, you know, that's what it comes down to. It really is a group effort. Everybody pitches in. Everybody does a little bit of different things. To share a personal story for me, this happened about 12, 13 years ago. My father-in-law, Joe Gardner, we took him down to Houston on Christmas. And he is very traditional New Mexican, you know. So we took him down to Houston for Christmas. And, you know, he said, well, what's for dinner? It's like, well, Christmas Eve, it's tamales. He's like, okay. So he had the tamales on Christmas morning. He wakes up and he's like, well, what's for dinner? We said, tamales. And he just kept waiting for his ham. And we just had to break the news to them. It's like, you're not getting ham this year. You're getting tamales through New Year's. Because that's how many tamales my mom makes. So she makes enough to last from Christmas Eve all the way through New Year's.
That is awesome.
That was his experience, his Houston experience with my family, with the Resendez family. Tamales every day. Do you eat tamales every day during the holiday season? Well, they're recommending that you get them early because they are selling out in multiple locations. If you're going to make them yourself, you definitely want to get the masa early and corn husks. Let's talk about corn husks, Juan. We were discussing corn husk earlier today. What is the secret to a good corn husk? You know, and there are different locations offer different ones. I got lucky last year and I bought some that were very soft.
Yes. Well, there's, don't forget, there's a yellow corn, there's a white corn. The yellow corn is always going to be softer. It's more consistent. The white corn tends to be a little bit bigger, and it has more of the, what would you call it, the stringy corn stuff on top. The hair. You got to really wash that off. And sometimes they have a little spots of black, and that's natural. The yellow ones a little bit more clean, a little bit smoother. So I prefer the yellow ones. Now they're normally about 10 to 9.5 inches long, about a good 4.5 inches wide. That's a good traditional one right there. This is the yellow. The white tend to be a little bit bigger, maybe like about almost 12 to 10.5 to about 5 inches long. That's when people like those because they make those jumbo size tamales. Mm-hmm. So there's different hojas. There's different size of hojas or different deals. Like I remember my uncles, they used to make them like bean and the masa. Well, they used to get the bigger ones or the smaller ones and make like a tube. Out of small, you make two. You make one hoja and they would just roll it over and it'll be a big plump tamale. And they were actually really good. What they did with their beans that they would, they refried their beans with chicharron and they would make them really, and a lot of cheese, and they would make it like really, really super good and ooey, and they were awesome. I remember that.
Now, the secret to using la hoja, as they call it, or the corn husk, is that there's two sides to it.
Yes.
There's a smooth side and there's a rough side. You want to put the masa on the smooth side.
Yes, because that's where it bends and folds in. It's a more of a natural way. That's where the husk wrapped around the corn. That's why it's smoother. It's smoother and it blends in. It rolls up nicer. With the white corn, if you do the opposite way, they tend to expand even more. They come out chunkier. They overload. They come out.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Or join us on social media on Facebook Live. Again, all calls and social media questions are entered into a drawing to win a $20 gift certificate to the Santa Fe Grill. So you can purchase your own tamales or pick up your own tamales with Juan Morales. So again, join in on the conversation, 575-646-2212. Casey, we have a social media question.
Yes. Christian, what should the masa consistency be? I have a hard time getting it right. It's either too thick or too watery. Help.
Okay, well, I would say like a good creamy cookie dough, something that's smooth, that's going to spread easy, that's not going to be lumpy, clumpy. And it also has to do with the way you mix your masa, the way you mix that masa. I mean, you mix it up to where it's nice and consistent. If it's a little too runny, you add a little bit more dry powder. If it's a little bit too, vice versa. You do it, you adjust it, and the key is you taste that raw masa. That's because that's where your tamale's going to taste.
An old wives' tale that if you fill a glass with water, you drop in the masa. If it floats, it's ready to go. If it sinks, or is it the opposite? I forget which way it goes. But
the way you said it, yeah, because if it sinks, it's too thick. It's too thick, too heavy. It's not going to spread easy.
Okay, so if it floats, it's ready to go. If it sinks, keep on mixing it. Again, for Christian, the key to making a good masa is to have the patience, because that's really where it's all at, in my opinion, is the consistency of the masa, because it can either overcook, undercook, and, or be too rubbery. I've had problems where the tamale comes out too rubbery because I added too much manteca. So the key is to have a lot of patience with the masa. I mean, again, the stuffing is important. All that is important. But if you don't do the masa correctly, it can go all downhill. Do you agree, Juan?
I agree. I've seen it happen. I've saved a lot of tamales in my time.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Where are the best tamales in the Mesilla Valley? Where do you get your tamales? Where do you get your masa? Do you start from scratch? Or do you do what I do and just go to a shop and buy the masa pre-prepared? That way I don't have to mess with it. And it's already consistent and it's ready to go. It's All I got to do is worry about the stuffing, and it's good to go. This year, Juan, I'm experimenting. I'm experimenting with red chili meat. I've never done it. I've never done it successfully, I should say. So I'm taking your recipe and putting the meat in a crock pot to see if I can get it to shred. But again, the challenge I have is, you know, in the question a lot of people have, and I'm surprised nobody's called in, is what's the ratio, masa to meat?
Yes. Like I said, it depends on the person that's making them. You know, if you're in the commercial business, of course, you're going to use more masa and less meat. But if you're going to make them for your family, you know, I would do a 50-50. That's what I do at home, a 50-50. A 50% masa, 50% carne, nice and meaty.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation, we're running out of time. We've got less than 5 minutes to go. So now is the time to get in your questions. 575-646-2212. Again, if you want to get in on the drawing, no purchase necessary, as they like to say, as they say, you can just get in and ask, Jake to put your name in the drawing. Casey, you know, we've heard from lots of different questions. I think the thing that sticks out to me the most is, you know, the style of tamales, whether it's vegetarian or whether it's meat. And we've heard some good recipes. That recipe we heard from earlier was just phenomenal.
You know, more and more people are eating plant-based diets, and, you know, not just vegetarian, but, you know, vegan, full vegan tamales. And I have certainly a mix of friends that make their own vegan tamales. I have yet to eat one, but I do plan on it. I'm sure they're fine.
Well, again, you know, the key is the sides. Put a little bit of guacamole, a little bit of salsa, and a little bit of sour cream, and voila. I mean,
well, no sour cream, Edmundo.
No sour cream? Okay. Oh, that's right. That's vegan. So no. Okay. Forget the sour cream.
Right. Right. So I could do vegetarian, but, you know, giving up cheese really, for me is a tall order.
Juan, what's the secret to good salsa?
Good
for the side.
Well, you know, I love jalapenos. I love rich chili. I love serranos. So like I say, you know, everybody has their own preference. But what I really like to do, I like to fire roast my jalapenos, tomatoes, onion in there. You know, put them in a little bag. Put a little bag, let them steep with them, and then just peel them. Put them in your blender, 2 cups of water in there. Bam. Clove of garlic, salt to taste. Now, you could do it chunky. You could do it liquefied. You can make it Chico's taco style. You know, that's that puree right there. You can make it chunky. And, you know, that's my gig right there. I've also known to do a jalapeno and huerito, which is a yellow pepper, with tomatillo, the green tomato. And that gives it more of an acidic taste, acidic flavor, which is good also, and gives a good combination. Now, you could also add a serrano in there for extra heat. The serrano will definitely jazz it up a little, like kick it up a notch. Serranos are much hotter than jalapeno.
Yeah, and the challenge, as you know, when we've done the Red or Green Confidential, is, you know, jalapenos are so inconsistent at most markets because, you know, Jake and I have this conversation all the time. Jake Lockwood is, you know, you buy jalapenos and you're all excited. You get home and there's no flavor to them. They've got no heat.
Right.
It's a bell pepper. We made some poppers the other day. One bite, and that's all we could handle between two of us. And
it's
they
too
were
hot.
Like, outrageously hot. And then the trick also, you know, like we talked to Dr. Bosman in the past, you know, it's the heat, it's the membrane inside the pepper. You get it, you roll it, you bust those membranes, those veins, and it just spits out that all the good stuff from the veins in there makes the pepper even hotter.
How many dozen tamales is the Santa Fe Grill going to do this year? Do you know?
Maybe 100,000.
100,000? You're going to feed all of New Mexico with 100,000?
Oh, that's a dream of mine. You know, I'll be lucky if you know, we do about 100. I already sold 100 dozen, but, you know, I really don't advertise for it, Mundo, because, you know, I get caught not having enough. I said this to my friends. I said to Frank Duran, great tamale maker. I send them to El Indio. They make some really good green and cheese at El Indio. Really, really good. the good guys from Los Compas, Rudy and Javi, they make some good tamales also. And they only make reto. But, you know, Mr. Hutchinson La Posa, you know, they got it. You know, Andrea from Andalus, great friends of mine, you know, I send them over there because, you know, I can keep up with the demand.
Okay, so we have a drawing.
We do, here with just a little bit of time left, a minute or so. I want to congratulate Sherry. Her name was drawn for the gift this afternoon. So congratulations, Sherry. You'll be getting a phone call.
Okay. I want to thank our sponsors. Talking Tamales on KRWG Public Media was made possible by Mesilla Valley Hospice, serving generations of families during difficult times. Mesilla Valley Hospice is made possible through donations and the support of the entire community. Learn more online at mvhospice.org. By Oregon Mountain Solar and Electric, a locally owned full-service system integrator providing solar and electric solutions through discovery, design, and installation of both residential and commercial. Information at OregonMountainSolar.com. By Mesilla Valley Hospital, open and ready to care for patients having a mental health crisis. Professionals available 24/7 to provide assessments on a walk-in basis. Information at MesillaValleyHospital.com. Thank you for joining us on KRWG's Talking Tamales. Juan Morales, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Valencia, for joining us. KC, thank you very much. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. KC Counts was our co-host. Special guest was Juan Morales of the Santa Fe Grill. Thank you very much.